Esquire, but you can call me Attorney J. Thank you for tuning in to Faces of Divorce. This episode is going to be an episode where we have an expert, myself, and I am going to be talking about how we got started. Okay, so this is the origin story. This is going to be about why Faces of Divorce, the name Faces of Divorce, when did it come to my mind? How did it develop? And then what should we look forward to as we go on week by week through each and every season that we have? Okay. So, again, I am a practicing attorney. I've been one for 15 years now, and it has been an amazing journey. However, this journey has allowed me to navigate this area. So, this area of family law, right? Divorce, relationship between two individuals that decided that they were going to live life together forever. This is, us coming together, building a life. And I was exposed to this relationship when I first started my practice, not started my practice, when I first started practicing law, when I served as a prosecutor. No judgment. Remember, Faces of Divorce is a no judgment zone. So, as a prosecutor, I had domestic violence cases. And a lot of the domestic violence cases, it was husbands and wives that either the husband, mainly wives, were calling in, but sometimes it was a husband that was being battered as well. And it was very interesting because we understand in the moment, because sometimes I'm talking directly to the individual when I first get the case, or I'm listening to the 911 call. I'm listening to the interview after with the officers. And in the moment, the person is identifying everything that has transpired, not only the reason why they call on that day, but all of the other times that they did not call, and what the person has done, and how, they no longer feel like they should go through this. They need protection. They need help. There are so many things that would come up during this emergency call to the officers to help the individual in a domestic violence situation. And then I would represent them, I would talk to them. And some things would happen. Sometimes they're still, even if this is months later, they're still ready to go forward and get the job done and make sure that they're never in that situation again. But then the opposite happens as well, where they are now back together, they've reconciled, which isn't a bad thing, right? In and of itself. But there are times that they reconcile where it doesn't end up in a good story is when that person is on someone's desk again and there is a 911 call. And we would experience that very frequently at the state attorney's office. The next phase within the state attorney's office is I would be intaking the cases. So, not so much. They've already, gone through processing. The case has been filed. I now had to become the filer, that person that's talking to them maybe days after the incident took place. And we are now having a conversation as to, are we going to go forward and pressing the charges as the state? And is that person still on board? What support are they going to give to bring this criminal case against the person that battered them? And that's where I was exposed to so many different circumstances, so many different situations where individuals were saying, yes, the person is out of the home because when I called the police removed them. But then I would get the question, what's going to happen to my batter? We live in the same home. Now they have to be in a hotel or they have to be somewhere. Because just to give you a brief synopsis of what that process looks like, if there is a domestic violence call, and this is kind of blanket across the board, wherever you are listening from in the US, they usually arrest the person who they're able to identify when they're on the scene as the aggressor, the person that actually committed the violence. And when they have their first appearance, because within 24 hours, they have to have a first appearance before a judge, even if it's the weekend, even if it's a holiday. One of the things that's mandatory is that the judge put a no contact order. A no contact order means that they cannot communicate with the person that they committed violence against. They cannot be in the same home with them. They can't call them. They can't text them. And they can't even make other people call and text them. And this is even if they have children. So, unless there's some exception or they already have an attorney that's there at the time, then the attorney can bring up the fact that, hey, there's children. Maybe there's this third party that can be the person in the middle that should allow them to have communication. But if there's not an attorney there, there's not someone advocating for that, then most likely there's no communication until they're able to see the court again. And the either the victim is saying that, no, I don't want the no contact order or something like that. But that's basically how that process would go. And they would say, you know, if that person doesn't come back, yes, I fear that there may be more violence, but if that person doesn't come back, then what am I going to do financially? What am I going to tell the kids? And there's a lot of what ifs, which is understandable, right? And so that was more the criminal side of it. Then I went into private practice. In private practice, I was representing individuals. My first ever case in opening up the doors was a divorce case. It's a divorce case of someone that attended my church at the time. I did explain to them, you know, I referred them to another family law attorney. And they was like, nope, I want it to be you because I trust you. I know that you take things seriously and you will figure it out. And that's exactly what I did. We were able to figure it out. And from that first case in December 2014 and on, it's been over a decade now, I've been representing men and women, mainly without trying. It has been women. It has been women of color, Haitian women, Jamaican women, Black American women, women of so many different cultures, but women that were in the higher echelon in their jobs. If they're not the one running a business, they are supervisors, executives, and making the big decisions every day. I'm telling you, they were making the big decisions every day. However, when we would have the conversation about divorce, it went a lot of different ways, but I can tell you that one of the main conversations that I had was the fact that that person is now seeing that they are a failure, that they are able to succeed in every other area of life. But the fact that they are now facing this divorce, they see themselves as a failure. They are either seeking revenge because they need to avenge themselves of the fact that they are in this circumstance. And one thing that happened as a result of seeing themselves as a failure is the fact that they then don't show up fully for the divorce process. What do I mean by not showing up fully? I discuss this in my book, Divorce Like a Boss, The Ultimate Tactical Guide to End a Toxic Marriage and Fulfill Your Purpose. Not showing up for the process is when decisions have to be made. What type of decisions? Decisions about what's going to happen with the children, what's going to happen with the house, the bank accounts, your investments, your retirements. How are you going to move forward during the divorce and after the divorce? If there has to be a real estate transaction, participating in the decision on who's going to be the realtor, what is going to be the listing price, who are we going, what are you going to do after the house is sold, how is the money going to be split? Why are these, you can understand why it's important. So I won't say why is it important, but how does it look when you don't show up for those things? When you don't show up for those decisions, the way that you showed up for the decision to get married, right? The planning, you were fully involved with the planning of the wedding and then during the marriage, planning the day-to-day, planning when there was children, what you would eat, when you would travel, a lot of different things that we plan. But when the mindset that you have is one of failure, one of defeat, or for those that are believers that are listening in, when you believe that I no longer can be used by God. Yes, at one point, there was a purpose for my life. But now that I'm facing divorce, if I actually have to go through this process, I will no longer be useful. I will no longer have a purpose. I will have a letter, a stain on me that Jesus's blood can no longer remove. That's what that mindset is like. And that's why when you're looking at the decisions that you have to make in the divorce process, it becomes too much. Because if the weight that you're holding already, mentally, spiritually, is so heavy that it is weighing you down, how can you take on the task of making more decisions that are already difficult? The divorce, the thought of divorce is difficult. You're in your mourning season at this point. You're mourning a marriage and a life that you thought you would have, that you were building towards. So understanding that mindset, understanding that you are so purposeful. But you have to recognize that purpose, understanding that you are not alone. You are not facing something that is unique to you. There's so many people facing it, and that there is support. That's why I wrote the book, but that's why God led me to write the book. So, as a believer, there's nothing that I've done from the law school, from my husband, the decision to my naming my children, the church we attend, everything that I have done has been ordered by the Lord. I believe it, and that's why you are hearing my voice right now, is because God said that there is an army of individuals, especially women, women of color, women in America, Canada, Africa mainly. I mean, September 2022, he pointed me directly to women in Africa that are stuck because they believe that their heavenly father no longer can use them. So that's why God showed me that not only are you going to write this book, but there needs to be a voice crying out, letting people know that I still have them in my hand. They are still mine. And how am I going to do that? It is through one of the ways is through Faces of Divorce. Faces of Divorce, it is a platform where when individuals come on this platform, they are speaking to what happened in their lives. They are speaking to their stories. They are speaking to the ups, the downs that led them to having to face divorce. When a professional is speaking, like myself, we may not have experienced divorce. Some professionals, they will have experienced divorce and they're going to talk about that experience. But we have put in the hours, the time, the dedication to serve those of you that are facing divorce. We have researched, developed concepts and ideas and understanding of what is bringing this person here. What are some solutions they need within my area of practice that will help them to purposefully navigate divorce? So, Faces of Divorce, God showed it to me in 2021. So, this is a year after the book was written. And he said, we need to have the voices of people that have gone through it to come and speak transparently to those that are navigating it right now, so that they can see the pitfalls. They can see places where they can do better before they are at the end of their divorce journey, so that they can divorce differently. What is divorcing differently? Divorcing differently is looking at the divorce process not as a weapon to use against your spouse, but as a tool to use to get you from where you are in the toxic environment to a triumphant place, to a new place, to the place that God had already prepared for you. That's what divorcing differently is, to not allowing emotions to take part in the decisions that you make in your divorce process. Emotions are real. I talk about in the book, there's a whole chapter dedicated to emotions in the book. However, we cannot allow emotions to dictate the the answers that need to be made, the decisions that need to be made, the answers that need to be given during your divorce process and even after. Because if you're going to fulfill a purpose, you cannot be stuck at the place of unforgiveness. You cannot be stuck at a place of thinking that you have failed. You cannot allow fear to hold you down. And that's how we divorce differently. So Faces of Divorce is supposed to be a guide. It's supposed to be a support that's going alongside you while you are either facing it, you haven't made a decision yet, you are in the midst of your divorce, or you're on the other side of your divorce and you're still struggling to get to the place of healing, to get to the place of restoration, to get to the place where you are replenished. We want you to repent. What is repent? Change your mind about yourself. Change your mind about what led you to divorce. Change your mind about who you are after that divorce. We want you to be replenished, bringing back. So if you prayed less because you have been facing this, we want you to start praying more. If you have stopped reading books that empower you, you've stopped having conversations with people that are pouring positivity into you, we want you to be back into that place because we want you to be a glass that is completely filled so that when it is time for you to pour into others, you are pouring from a filled glass, not an empty one, not a half glass, but a full glass. That's what Faces of Divorce is here to do for you. Also, we recognize that in our community, there's already a lot of circumstances that's against us, okay? Being in America, because this is where we're broadcasting from, I know a lot of cultures are different, but being in America, understanding that there's laws, there's policies that's been against us. The Black Americans even being here, it was not willingly that you came here. We've now built, we've made this country what it is. We continue to add value every day to one another, but we have to recognize that the divorce process, as it has been created, it has not been created to consider who you are as an individual. It has not been created to consider creating a cohesiveness within our community. It wasn't created for that. It was created to get you from point A, married, to point B, divorce. It does not consider your emotions. It does not consider your spirituality. It does not consider the fact that you have plans, you have purpose, you have, it is not that. It is black and white. Hey, this is the process that you take. This is the policy that we have. Do these things and we will get you divorced. That's what the divorce process is. We have to be intentional about not breaking down our community. Yes, two people are separating. Two people will no longer be in a bond. A bonded relationship called marriage, but it doesn't mean I have to hate you. It doesn't mean I have to tear you down, especially when our children are watching and they need to know how to conduct themselves in their own relationships. That is important. That is needed. So, that is another goal of Faces of Divorce, building up the community, maintaining the community, making sure that we don't tear each other down or tear ourselves down in the midst of going through this process. Faces of Divorce is for you. It is to make sure that we do not forget that we are so important that God has still put breath in our life, in our lungs. We're still alive to see what's going on, even if we don't like what's going on around us. But you are living for a purpose. You are here for a purpose. Let's not forget it. Let's not miss it. Let's make sure that we are showing up, but we are showing up as completely ready to take on the process. This episode is brought to you by the Sejou Gustave Law Firm with offices in Aventura, Florida, Georgia, Decatur, Georgia. It is also referred to as the SG Law Firm, legalizing your legacy through estate planning and business administration. So, you can find all of the information about the SG Law Firm on their social handles, which is at the SG Firm website, VTLaw.com. thesgfirm.com, thesgfirm.com. You can also call toll-free number 877-45-LEGACY and connect with them for all of your estate planning needs, trust, wills, business contracts, and everything in between. Also brought to you by our sponsor, Ally Prestige Apparel. Their mission at Ally Prestige Apparel is clear: to celebrate and empower the unsung heroes within various professional realms, notably paralegals and nurses, where empowerment meets style in honoring professional support staff. You can find them at allyprestigeapparel.com. That is AllyPrestigeApparel1L dot com. So Ally Prestige Apparel, look them up. They are doing amazing things supporting paraprofessionals like our nurses and paralegals. I am talking about how Faces of Divorce got started. Why is it me? How God called me to get this done and to make sure that we divorce differently. The website, if you want to know more about what I have going on and a lot of the free resources and tools and other things that we have, is Attorney J Coach, real easy, attorneyjcoach.com. And you will find the book that I referred to. We have it in hard copy, in digital, and in audiobook form. I did narrate the audiobook, so I hope you enjoyed it. And I want some feedback, give some feedback as to that. So, Faces of Divorce, we are going to have our next episode. I hope you guys are ready because as these episodes come rolling in, it's going to hit you where it's supposed to, and then it's supposed to support you. A lot of our guests, they had to go through healing. They had to go through a process either before or after because they're always aware of the topics that we're going to talk about. And they're agreeing to be transparent. They don't know how far this podcast is going to go, but they have healed enough to open up and share what they've learned, what they didn't do right, where their perspective was, and how where they are now is a place where they want you to be able to receive from them. You can learn the good, the bad, the ugly, and do better. At the end of the day, it is to navigate your divorce process with faith and purpose. Let your purpose be your guide, and we are going to come alongside you and support you in divorcing differently. I am Jadina Engestad Esquire, and this is Faces of Divorce.